Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
In Ephesians 3 verse 18, we're going to do a Valentine's message tonight, but it's not a normal Valentine's message. It's one from the Bible. It's an odd story, but it's a great story. It's probably the worst and the best Valentine's story you can hear, and it ends up pretty good. But Ephesians 3:18 says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp," read it with me, "how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God." My prayer tonight, leave it up, is that no matter whether today's a celebration day or not, nothing really to do with anything, it's just another day. But the most important thing you could know today is to have the power of and to be deep rooted in how wide and how long and how high and how deep the love of Jesus is, and to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Who wants to be filled to overflowing with the love of God tonight? Can I ask you this? Don't be familiar with the love of God tonight. Let there be an overflow of the love of God tonight. Let there be an abundance of the love of God tonight. I don't know if this is a great day or a hard day for you, but what I do know is that you can walk out of here filled to overflowing with an awareness of how much God loves you. Can we try to do this today? You know, not just come in and get by. Shans and I, we're going to admit this, we didn't give each other anything today. We both kind of walked in today hoping the other person didn't do anything so we both could nail it with nothing, right? But sometimes we can do that in church. We just come in and we're just hoping we just get by and we just pass through. That's not what we're to do tonight. We're to walk away overflowing. I just feel this exceedingly abundantly with the love of God in our life. So Father, I thank you that you love us. Come on, why don't you say this? Thank you, Jesus, that you love me. Come on, some of your souls need to hear this tonight. Say, thank you, Jesus, that you love me. I pray I receive that love. I pray I know that love. I pray I rest in that love tonight in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Do you know, God loves you no matter who you are, no matter how you got here tonight, whether invited, walked in, have come every week or coming for the first time, God loves you despite your mess. He said again, God loves you despite your mess. Something that Jesus loves us, but God the Father doesn't love us. Some of us have this notion that while Jesus came to rescue us, he came to rescue us from an angry Old Testament God. But I can tell you tonight, that couldn't be further from the truth. God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Son, all of them have always loved you. They have never changed. Jesus just allowed us to see the fullness of who God was. A good example of this is grandparents. My parents were really strict. There weren't a lot we were allowed to do. I was only allowed to have a girlfriend at 24 years old. We weren't allowed to get our license to 18 years old. Our bedtimes were strict. What we watched was strict. But soon as they became grandparents, it seems like they changed. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? My kids go over there and they can do anything they want, except for when my brother's kid's there, because now he's the youngest, he gets all the attention. Anyway, not that I'm bitter about it. My kids have all the energy. Bedtime is up to my children when they're at that house. Chocolate is now an entree. Thirsty, first thing in the morning, you can have a frozen Coke. You get a gift just for walking in the door. Well done, you're alive. Here's a gift. They get more money for one birthday than I got in all of my birthdays combined. And they buy more presents for my kids than my kids could ever use. And now I've got to find more places to store them. And then they get given back to me with this summary. They are now filled with sugar, drained of sleep, confused and on edge because they've entered into a new paradigm of attention that's been given to them over the last few hours. They literally now have more money than me and more stuff than I can store, and they are given back to me for the relapse and the breakdown in this exhausting reality of our care, and now we have to say thank you for my grandparents messing them up. And the reality is, it is the same parents that I had, but my kids just brought out the other side of them. My kids brought out who they always really were. God was never an angry God in the Old Testament, and then suddenly he's a gracious God in the New Testament. Jesus merely just shows us the perspective of God that was always there. The heart of God that always loved you. And tonight, being Valentine's night, I wanted to tell you what is without a doubt one of the oddest and most powerful love stories in the Bible. It's the story of Hosea and Gomer. Person in the Bible called Hosea. Hosea was a man of God, someone that God chose to speak to and give a message to all of God's people. And this is a story, Hosea, which is this small book found after Daniel. Not many people read it. Not many people get it. I want to show you today that this is a story in the Bible that is so shocking that if someone just told you this was a story, it wouldn't be true. It is a story that Pretty Woman, the movie with Richard Gere and Julia Roberts, has tried to mimic, but it is nowhere near as good. It is shocking, it is unlikely, it is ridiculous, it is gritty, it is grimy, but it is glorious, and it points to the love of Jesus almost like no other story in the Old Testament. Let's start with Hosea's family. Hosea, at some point, I'm going to call him Jose, but it is Hosea, and not a Mexican man called Jose and Gomez. No, it's Hosea and Gomez. I just know I'm going to mess it up. When I do, show me grace. On the screen, we start with the Hoseas. It starts with Hosea, and Hosea's name means salvation. Everyone say salvation. In the story of Hosea, Hosea represents salvation. That means Hosea represents Jesus. Hosea represents Jesus. A man representing God, a man that is going to show us how God sees us. And God gives this single man, Hosea, an assignment. He says, Hosea, I want you to be married. He says, my assignment for you is to go and get married. And he's like, fantastic. I didn't want to be single like Elijah, my friend, the other prophet. I didn't want to be like him. I wanted to marry someone and still be a man of God. And he's thinking, in fact, there's this little cute girl at Torah school that I've been having my eyes on, been wanting to ask her to the movies. I bought her a dinosaur. I can't wait to talk to her. And he starts, and of course, it's Valentine's Day. He goes to his Christian pickup lines, but we got some fresh ones. We've used Christian pickup lines before, but I have some new ones for you. He was thinking of walking up to this girl and saying to her, stand up, Shana, for me. I just need, stand up, Shana. I need someone I can say this to. Oh, were you at the transfiguration? Because you're glowing. Hey, baby, would you like to join my purpose-driven life? Uh-oh, I think this rib is yours. I put the stay standing. There's more. I put the stud in Bible study. It's terrible. Look, we're 22 and most Christians are married for about 3 years by now. Just give in to me. My parents are home. Do you want to come over? I went on a mission trip. And all that happened was I was a mission new. And he's planning these things on this little girl at the Torah study. And then God says to him how to do this in Hosea 1 verse 2. When the Lord first began to speak to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, go and marry a prostitute. One second, God. I just jumped to conclusions. I just deleted all of my, like, you know, kristenmingle.com. I'd planned these lines. I'd gotten ready. I heard the word. I was ready to change my status on Facebook to from single to, hey, I'm ready to move. And you tell me I've got to go and marry a prostitute? Did I hear that wrong? I mean, how could I trust her? I mean, I'm a man of God. I'm a faithful follower of God. I mean, what would I say when people asked about my wife? Oh, she's self-employed. There's nothing I can say. I'm a man of God. Just go with it. Sunday night. It's in the Bible. So God points him to a woman named Gomer. Not a pretty name. this is a woman. Her name's Gomer. Now, Gomer, and we'll put it up the next thing, the Hoseas. Gomer, her name means completion. Salvation and completion comes together. What does this mean? For this woman here, Gomer, a prostitute, even in her failings and rejection and in her pain and in her hurt, in her sorrow, in every moment of abuse that she probably faced, salvation is completely committed to her. That God is committed. Salvation and completion come together. So they start a family and they have a little boy named Jezreel, except they call him Judgment. His name means judgment. This is a God gives him the names of what this child is to be called. It's a picture of us. I mean, my middle name is Ernest. I mean, Joshua Ernest Greenwood. Not a great name. Unless your name's Ernest, then it's a solid great name. But Ernest, I mean, I knew a woman called Wilhelmina Philomena Houlihan. I mean, that's a ripper of a name. But Jezreel, Judgment, not a great name. But then they have another girl. And the problem is this time, Gomer, which again is a girl, does what she did before. She can't stay with him. She goes and sleeps with another man and now has another child. It's not Hosea's, it's someone else's, but he brings her into the family called Lo Rumah, which means not loved, no mercy. He has two children, one called Judgment and one called Not Loved and No Mercy. But then Gomer does what Gomer does and she messes up again and she slips again and she goes and now finds another man and she sleeps with another man and she falls pregnant to another man. And now Hosea, this man of God, has a third child, a second son. But this son, again, not being him, he names it Lo Ammi, which means not my people. He has three children, Judgment, Not Loved or No Mercy, and Not My People. And time goes on, and Gomer, doing what Gomer does, realizing even though she tried to do her best, messed up. Even though she tried to be faithful, couldn't be faithful. Even though she tried to start a new life, she slips into her old life. So Gomer, filled with no doubt shame and rejection and pain, even though Hosea was completely committed to her, never gave up on her, she left Hosea. Notice this though, salvation never leaves her. You have to know, salvation never leaves her. She walks away from salvation and goes and becomes a prostitute again. Now, no longer is she not just sleeping with other guys, but she's decided that she does not deserve him and she will go back to her old life because surely salvation is too good to be true. Surely I don't deserve salvation. Surely I don't deserve the love and grace and goodness of my husband. See, what sin does is sin lies to you. Sin reminds you of your past. Sin reminds you of your failings. And sin eats you up, chews you up, and spits you out again. And all she is left with no answer, so she cannot help but go back to her old ways. She knows what Hosea paid for her. She knows how Hosea adopted her children. She knows how Hosea was kind. But what is amazing is that salvation is about to go find her and bring her back. She rejects everything, yet salvation is going to go looking for her. But it takes a moment because I can imagine Hosea, this man of God, he's pretty embarrassed about this. I can imagine that one of his friends walking down the street one night sees Gomer and goes up to Hosea and says, "Hey, I saw her. I saw where she was in the gutter. I saw where she was back at her old place. We knew it was too good to be true. You know what? Leave her. You know what, Hosea? You can do better. You know what, Hosea? That girl at Torah school is still single. That girl, you know what, Hosea? There's many more fish in the Dead Sea. You can go out there and find someone else. It's time to move on and find someone better." And I mean, I'm sure Hosea was thinking about it. He's human. He's a man. But right now, he's not representing himself. You have to understand, Hosea is completely representing God. And God says to Hosea in chapter 3, verse 1, "Then the Lord said to me, go and love your wife again. Notice he never says that traitor again, or that cheater again, or that prostitute again, or that liar again, or that person that caused you harm again. He says, go and love your wife. The salvation of God never gave up on her. Hosea was never to give up on her. God has never for a moment given up on his complete salvation, connection, and relationship with you. He says, go and love your wife again, even though she's being loved by another and is committing adultery. And then says, love her in the same way the Lord loves the people of Israel. Are you kidding me? Go find this woman, this adulterer, this person that hurt you, rejected you, shamed you, embarrassed you, turned her back on you and left you. And right now God confirms she's with someone else. Forget about it. But you need to understand this part, that God said, love her in the same way I love Israel. Who is Israel? Israel is the picture of you and me. Israel is the picture of how much God loves you. Whenever we read Israel, we understand it's you. It's you sitting in here today. He says, go and love her in the same way I loved you. You need to know tonight, here on this Valentine's Day, whether you're in love, hate love, want love, there is one love that is greater than any other love. There is one love that will never fail you. There is one love that has never quit on you. There is one love that has never deserted you. It is the love of God. How much does he love you? So much that he was willing to pay for you and buy you with his own son that he loved so desperately, that he was willing just to buy you back and show you how much he loves Israel, how much he loves you, how much he cares for you. The person that rejected him, loved him and walked away, the person that got it right and got it wrong, the person that's trying hard and has never tried at all, he loves you so much that he would strap his son to a splinter-ridden cross and nail his hands and feet with his bloodied head and broken body to a cross to pay just to get you back. There has never been a more unquestionable love that was willing to go anywhere and do anything and go through any experience just to show you one thing, that you are desperately loved. He said, don't go love her how you would love her, Hosea. You're representing me. Go love her how I love my people. Go love her in a way that she could never question your love again. I want to say there's some people here today that's beginning to question the love of God because of circumstances, because you've gone through pain, because you've gone through difficulty, because you haven't heard God's voice in a while, because that thing hasn't come to pass yet. But when you stop and think about how much Jesus really loves you, when you contemplate the price he was willing to pay, how could we ever question God's love for us? I mean, I question sometimes how much I love God. I talk to myself and say, God, Josh, you need to have a greater love for God. But you know the only way I love God more? It's when I realize how much he loves me. So Hosea has to go look for Gomer. Could you imagine, as a man of God, how hard this would be? Could you imagine where he had to go and look for his wife? Could you imagine for a moment? It's easiest to quickly read on a page, but think about this for a moment. He knows she's with other men. He knows she's not in the best part of town. Where would a prostitute be? Where would a prostitute hide? Where would a prostitute wait? He would have to go looking in the most difficult, awkward places that a man of God should never go. He was going to a place he loved her. He had to go, he had children with her. He had to go to a place where it would guarantee that it would bring Hosea pain. But this is the love of the Lord that he has to show. This is a message for you of how far God was willing to go. That while we were still sinners, while we were still caught in adultery, while we were still rejecting him, while we were still away from him, while we were still addicted and stuck, while we were still living our life on our own, while we were still the dirtiest and the worst, those that deserve nothing, God came looking for you. You think you're too far gone? You think you're too far away from from God. You think you've messed it up too many times. You think you've got it wrong one too many times. You think you're back in the same place again. He was showing through Hosea, he would go into any dirty place, into any difficult situation. He would allow himself to walk through any moment of pain just to get you back. God's love is looking for you, whether you deserve it or not, because it was never about your goodness. It was always about his love. The love of God. Some of us just need to hear this story tonight to be reminded so we would fall back in love and receive the love of God. The love of God will search high and low. You think your past and your present is so dark and disgusting and shameful and gritty, but there is nothing more glorious than his love and his grace that is willing to go there with you if you're willing to go there with him. There is nothing he can. Some people won't let God heal them of addiction and the battles of the mind and the hurt of the past because you're like, I can't go there with God. It's too dark and dirty. But there is no place God's not willing to go to restore you and heal you and bring you back. So what does Hosea do? He buys her. One second. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? She is your wife. They never got divorced. Salvation was completely committed to her. But he goes and buys her back. He paid the price. He paid the cost of what it would be to buy her out of prostitution. Other men bought her, but he doesn't buy her. He's her husband. Yet he goes and chooses to purchase her, to buy her. He finds her drugged, controlled, chained up, locked up, messed up, and being sold to the highest bidder. And he pays the highest amount for what is already his. You see, God is showing you a message today through the message of Hosea that you are the possession of God. The Bible tells us that the earth is his and everything in it, that you are a child of God, that you are an heir of Christ, that you are loved and a son and daughter of him before you even realize it. But even though that is the case, he was willing to pay the highest price to take back what was already his. He didn't just say you should get religious or get in church or pray a prayer. He said, I will pay the price for your salvation with my son. I will not only pay something, I won't only send an angel, I won't only send a messenger. You think you're not good enough, or maybe you've got familiar with God? He loved you so much, God paid for you with Jesus. He paid the highest price anyone could ever pay to buy back what he already owned. Hosea buys her for 15 pieces of silver, 5 bushels of barley, and a measure of wine. What we read with many commentators that talk about this is the price of a slave was 30 coins. That's what Jesus got purchased for. But he couldn't even afford it, so he gave everything he had. He couldn't afford the price, so because he gave the coins and the barley and the wine, he gave everything he had. You think it was easy for God to purchase your salvation? You think it was? No, he gave you everything. Thing he had. When he gave Jesus, he didn't just give a measure, he gave everything he had. What does Hosea do? He gave everything he had left for the woman that took everything from him and left. Isn't this the picture of God? That he bought us and said, for all that I have, be mine. Be my bride. Be my son. Be my daughter again. He could have got, maybe just the keys can come, the team can stay for a moment. He could have got a divorce. He could have left it right there. No worries, and no one's judging him. She doesn't deserve him. But God commands him, you're representing me and my people. Go love her anyway. She was used to being bought by men only for her to be used. But now her husband, who she used, is buying her back to be loved. The one who was bought for others is now bought so she could be loved. But not only this, he goes on in Hosea 2 verse 14, he says, but then I will, read it with me, win her back again. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her there. What I love is he's bought her, but now it's not enough to command her, you will be a faithful wife, I paid the price. What is Hosea doing as he represents God? He's wooing her. He's loving her. He's whispering to her. He's speaking tenderly to her because it wasn't salvation. It wasn't the price that he wanted. It wasn't just to own her. It was intimate relationship with her. God doesn't want you religious turning up at church. He's not looking for you to read your Bible because he paid the price and therefore you do it to keep him happy. Now, he's shown with Hosea, he intimately wants relationship with you. You think he's angry with you? You think he's disappointed with you? You think he's looking at you? You think he's the Old Testament God angry? No, this Old Testament God is wooing you, calling you, wanting you. You think he's too far gone? No. Gritty, grimy, glorious love that is willing to woo the worst of us. But not only that, it then goes on. Not only will he woo her, but in verse 20, he says, and you shall, say this with me, know the Lord. Adam knew Eve. Mary never knew Joseph. When we talk about know here, this is talking about intimacy. If this was me, and I have to represent God, and I've got to buy her back, and I've then got to woo her, she's sleeping in the spare room, or I'm sleeping on the couch. I'm not trying to be rude. I know where she's been. I know what she's gone through. But God takes all of that mess and all of that hurt and all of that pain and all of that rejection and says, I want intimacy with you. I want to be one with you. You think I'm disgusted and grossed out by your failings and mistakes, the things you think on, the things you've done? No, not salvation, not grace. He was completely committed to her. Salvation was committed to her, that her past would be gone and she would start again. You think you've read the best romance novels? You think you've seen the best Netflix Valentine stories? There is none like a God that would be willing to do anything to be close and intimate with you. You know what God wants with you? He doesn't just want to have a great Instagram post. He doesn't want to just have a moment of relationship. He wants ongoing, life-fulfilling intimacy with you. The most outstanding truth is the creator of the whole universe wants you, even when you don't deserve it. Hosea 6 verse 6 says, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. He doesn't want your religiousness. He doesn't want your perfection. He doesn't want you having it all together. He doesn't want the facade. He wants your love. I don't want your offerings. He says, I want you to, say with me, know me. This is the gospel. Salvation buys her back. And put up the next screen of the family. There is no judgment. Salvation is made whole, completely forgiven with no judgment. He's undoing all of the past. The children of the family are the picture of us. And he's saying, for you, there's no judgment today. But it goes on in chapter 2, verse 23. And it says, I will, say with me, show love to those people called not love. Come on, let's go back to his family. Let's go to Hosea's family. Now Lo-Harumah, who now has a smile on her face, has gone from being not loved to being shown love. And they've been shown mercy. And then it goes on. We'll go back to the verse. He says, I will show love to those called not loved. And to those called not my people, I will say, now you are my people. And you will reply, you are my God. We now go back to Lo-Hamai, this boy who now has a smiley face as well. And those that were not my people were now your people. This is the message in Hosea. It is not just a historical document. It is not just prophetic writing. It is actuality of what God's love is like for you. That salvation is completely committed to you. And those that deserve judgment have no judgment. And those that were not loved are now loved. And those that should not be shown mercy are shown mercy. And those that are not my people are now my people. And they will say, you are my bridegroom. You are my God. Salvation has come. Jesus has come. Hosea has come. And he has come looking for you today.
As Romans says, chapter 5, 19, "For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous." Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Where sin was greater, His love was greater. So you're a greater sinner, well, He's a greater lover. You're a greater rejecter, He's a greater lover. You're a greater failure, He's a greater lover. You think He's rejecting you? You think He's angry with you? You think He's frustrated with you? No, He's looking for you. He's calling for you. He wants to woo you, buy you. He's bought you and be intimate with you. Because there is no judgment. There is only mercy. There is love. And there is family. No matter how deep you sink this Valentine's Day, His love is deeper still. And my past and my failings and all those things do not have the final say. Grace does. Am I willing to be wooed? Jesus has come looking for you. The price has been paid for you. The question is, today and tomorrow, are you willing to receive His love? How do you love Him more? Receive His love. How do you be better? Receive His love. How do you get healed? Receive His love. How do I get rid of the shame? Receive His love. He's paid, He's looking, He's calling, and He wants to be one with every person here tonight. Hosea, salvation. It's of course the picture of the Father who loves you.
Hello, thank you so much for watching this video today. I pray this sermon has blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you. You know, we may never have met, I may not know you, but God knows you. And I want to tell you today, God loves you. That even before you knew about Him, He loved you. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, so many of us do life on our own, trying to lead our life in a way that finds answers and finds the peace and finds the joy we're looking for, but we come up short. But God knew that you needed rescuing, that you needed saving, that you needed His love. So He sent His Son Jesus to come and pay the price for our mistakes. He lived a perfect life, but knowing we couldn't, He said, "I will take their place." So He died and rose again so that His death could pay the penalty for my mistakes and my past, and His life could make a way so that I could have life. I believe that when you believe in what Jesus did and when you invite Him to be Lord of your life, you can experience forgiveness, peace, hope, joy, purpose, and life like you've never known before. It's not about what we've done or who we're not. It's about that we have a God who's good, who can turn things for good, and loves you. He's a father, He's a friend, and you can invite Him into your life today by simply saying this prayer after me. I'm gonna say this prayer, and wherever you are, wherever you're watching around the world, pray this prayer with me. Maybe you once knew God and you walked away. You know what? Maybe He's getting your attention today to say, come back into relationship with me. Maybe you've known religion, but never a real genuine relationship with God. Why don't you say this prayer too? And I believe this can be the beginning of a great new day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank You for loving me and giving Your life for me. I pray You forgive me for my past and You walk with me into my tomorrow. Let me know Your grace, Your forgiveness, Your peace, Your purpose, Your joy, and Your hope into my life. I ask You to lead me and guide me from this day forward. Be Lord of who I am. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer today. I believe that as you did, the peace, the grace, and the love of God comes into your life. You know what? The past is real, but it doesn't have to dictate your future. Let the love, the grace, and the Word of God go with you from this day forward, and I believe the best days are ahead for you. If you prayed this prayer, or you want to know more, maybe you're on the journey, why don't you flick us an email so we can send you some material about following Jesus. We can maybe connect you with a local church near you that you can do life with, get good people around you, and we would love to pray with you. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer. I'm so glad you're on the journey of following Jesus. I'm so glad you listened today. God bless.